You know, it's amazing that you helping Darian leads into my little devotion I have right now. And when I look at you kids here, also the rest of you as well, but especially you kids, I see the hopes you have for the future, your Christ-centered relationship that you have with other people, and how you're seeking to multiply Jesus and his kingdom. And then you have super-duper trust. That's just, you have faith, knowing that you can put your hope in God. And kids, I want you to know that I learned so much from you about the way you trust Jesus in all aspects of your lives. And I want to say thank you for that. In a little bit, I'm going to share about a little boy that had tremendous trust in Jesus. And because of this trust, he was able to see Jesus' light shine and be a part of helping thousands and thousands and thousands of people love Jesus more. And this idea came while I was thinking through our day five lesson. And our verse for day five was this: let your good deeds shine so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. And our Bible point reflects this as well. It says, when people need help, and the way you showed no hesitation, yeah, we set it up, in helping Darian reminds me of how amazing you are, but also how much Jesus loves you. Jesus thinks you are the most precious thing in the whole universe, and he's there with you. And also, we that are older than you, we do learn a lot from you and what it means to sacrifice much for the kingdom and shine Jesus' light. And so together, we're going to see how Jesus is helping us shine his light. Did you know, did each one of you know that Jesus wants you to be like him and he's coming alongside of you? He says, hey, Dan, I'm here. I'm always here with you. Will you join me in restoring broken people and helping others? Hey, Zoe, I'm here. I'm always here. Will you join me in my story of restoring broken people and helping others? And when I think about helping others, this one quote seems to always come to my mind. I'm going to read it to us here. For even if the whole world believed in the resurrection, little would change until we began to practice it, living it out with our actions. We can believe in CPR, that's like when people need chest compressions and breath, but people will remain dead until someone breathes new life into them. And we can tell the world that there is life after death, but the world really seems to be wondering, is there life before death? And our verse that we have, let your good deeds shine so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. I think this, if we think about it, people who don't know Jesus are saying, God is the most amazing thing in the world. In that, they found life before death. So you've probably heard the 12 disciples, am I right? I'm curious how many in this room could actually name all 12 of them. These are the guys that spent 3 beautiful years with Jesus, being some of the first to share his... that's not from way back then. I think I just got that off of the internet, but yes, it is a real picture. The first ones to share his kingdom message with others. And they knew the answer to, is there life before death? In Galatians 2, the disciples send Paul as their man to the Gentiles. Paul, you're our guy. Go share with the Gentiles. In verse 10, they give him one instruction, and it's this. Paul, continue to remember the poor. That's it. Go and continue to remember the poor. And Paul, he also understood this, and he says, that's the very thing I've been eager to do. So we see these beginning of the New Testament people are saying, we're looking and we're helping people so we can shine Jesus' light. Well, I'm going to do something a couple times, and I think for most of us, we will know how to finish off this song, but I need your help in finishing off the line. It goes like this. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Let's try that one more time. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Very good. Okay, so there's a few times we'll have you join me in that. So we have some basics in kids' quests, and we're going to share with you what those are. When God created the universe, it was totally awesome. God's presence was here. His peace was here. There was completeness, wholeness, harmony. We call this shalom, right? This sense of God being here in completeness. But then something messed it up. We know that sin entered the world, and shalom was lost, broken, destroyed. And we live in a broken world now with hurting people that need help. God said this, I don't like what's going on. I have a plan. I have made a promise, and I'm going to restore the lives of my beautiful creation, my children. And I'm going to do this through my son, born as a very real person named Jesus. You know, probably most of us have heard or know the story of Jesus becoming our Savior. This is the Easter story, right? So now I got it, even if we're not sure what I'm talking about. In this, salvation restores our brokenness from sin. And not only that, but Jesus honors us with great dignity by asking us to partner with him. Come alongside me and help me restore my presence, peace, completeness, harmony, wholeness, and others. Well, hey, I got a story here I want to share with you. You see the picture on the slide there about a time when the disciples missed a very important lesson when Jesus was feeding 5,000 people in John 6. We're going to see a really beautiful example of faith. This goes along with our series. But this example of faith isn't found in the disciples. You'd think the 12 guys that go with them everywhere 3 years, they should have faith like you wouldn't believe. But it's a little boy that helped shine Jesus' light. And like I said, the thousands and thousands of people were able to see his faith and love Jesus more. Okay, so it's 5,000 men. There were women and children as well, so it was many more than 5,000 people, and they were there for a long time. You got to remember, people were poor back then. They didn't have like little lunch boxes and could bring food with them. If they had breakfast, that was all they had. They just wanted to be near the master. They wanted to hear Jesus. They wanted to see his miracles. They didn't care if it was going to be 1, 2, 3 days. They wanted to be with Jesus, so they were hungry, weren't going home for dinner. Jesus is like, we need to feed these people. I love them. I care for them. I care for their tummies as well. So Jesus says, Philip, right here, where's the closest Costco? Because I want to buy food for these people. You know, hot dogs, pop, pizza, poutine, everything that there is. Where can we buy food? And it's a good thing that Jesus asked Philip because this was his neighborhood. He knew where to buy the food. And what I love about Jesus' question here is he already knew the answer of what he was going to do, that there was no human way they could meet these needs before Philip even had a chance to say what he's going to say. But in asking his question to Philip, he's asking his followers if they want to be a part of his story to help hurting people or take away from it by not being involved. So, and Jesus asked the same question to us. Do you want to join me in helping others and restoring shalom? Or do you want to just kind of sit on the sidelines? Okay, well, let me show you what Philip's response was here, right? I think he was pretty surprised that Jesus would ask him this. And so he says, Jesus, not even 8 months' wages would buy enough food. Okay, what are you thinking here, Jesus? Like, most of us are young, we're laborers, and we've kind of been unemployed since we've been following you. We don't have any money. You know this, Jesus. And so, kids, can you help me out here? I think maybe Philip didn't hear the question. Can you, you know, on three, read out what John 6:5 says? 1, 2, 3. Okay, that's what I thought. Jesus asked, where can we buy the food, not do we have enough money? And did you see what Philip's natural response was? It was to see what wouldn't work. We don't have enough money, Jesus, can't help the people. You know, it's great that they're here, but too bad on that one. And this is possibly a way that we look at people that need help as well. And when I'm talking about people needing help, it's that, exactly like that. People that need help in anything. A stranger falls in a parking lot. Don't wait. Just go over and you help them right away. You don't have to say, oh, should I do that? Someone is sick in the hospital. You go and visit them, even if it's out of your comfort zones. A friend that gets picked on at school. Well, hey, at expense to yourself, you stand up and protect your friend. Maybe a friend is sad or scared because parents are getting a divorce. You spend time with them. You listen. Make a nice card for them. Maybe some of you in this room are going through a separation right now. So for the rest of us, we invite them into our homes. We ask them to stay with us. We give them a big hug and say, you are family with us. This must be hard for you. You have a friend that's lonely and anxious. We're not going to problem solve. We're just going to be there for them quietly. We don't have to say things. Just spend hours with that friend. Someone is moving and they don't own a truck or a van, and you own a truck or a van. Hey, you're the moving guy now. People just need help. And there's so many other things we could have put down where people need help. And when our natural response is like the disciples, to say, hey, this isn't going to work because of this, I really think we're living something called a red light mentality that limits what God can do. And let me tell you what this red light mentality looks like. This is how I see it anyways. Until I can see all the provisions and work out a plan and run it by a committee and get support, not going to help. Not yet anyways. I'll only help if I don't look silly or get embarrassed, because I don't like it when I have to be in front of people and they're making fun of me a little bit because I'm helping these people out. If I don't get dirty, I'll do it, because I don't like getting dirty. I don't want to wash my hands. That's gross. That's yucky. Right? It's a Greek word, yucky. God, right? I don't want it to cost too much. Right? I already give my 10%. This is going to put me way above that 10%. Cost me money, not going to do it. But if it all looks okay, it's going to be easy, things are lined up, I'll help. For sure I will help. Where was that list again? Who can I go take care of? But when I think of our verse in Matthew 5:16, this doesn't shine Jesus' light very brightly. I actually feel it hides Jesus when we have all these things in place before we begin to help. And so that little song, there's another verse that goes like this. Hide it under a bushel, no. That's right. We're going to let it shine. And so what's the opposite of saying, no, I can't help or I won't? I believe it's training ourselves, using these muscles that we maybe have said no to. We need to turn every conviction into conduct and say, I will always be looking for ways to help other people, to help them praise their heavenly Father. This is life before death. This little light of mine. And when we do this, this is a green light mentality. Listen how green light differs from red light. We know blessing and caring is what God is about. And so, little chicken nuggets up here. So unless God tells you to stop very clearly, then we need to assume that goodness, mercy, help, generosity, and compassion are the default in my life. Let's look at our story again. The 12 disciples couldn't see how that they could help people. They couldn't get past this one thing. Then Andrew, Philip's brother, who could have said, hey, I live in this area as well, I know where to go. But he said, Jesus, look at, I got this little boy here. Look at the grin on his face. He's so happy. I think he was eavesdropping on our conversation a little bit. He said, hey, can I see the master? And I said, sure, come. So Jesus, here's this little tiny boy. He wants to chat with you. And oh, hey, buddy, that's such a tiny, cute little lunch. Enjoy that later. And then walks away. And I don't want you to miss this, because this little boy, who only had one tiny sentence written about him, demonstrates mountains of trust in Jesus. He trusted Jesus in amazing ways. And this is what this entire meditation is about, this little boy right here. Because his trust shows Jesus that he is willing to give everything to help others. I bet this little boy, in his excitement, you know, was kind of like, hey, Jesus, you can have my lunch, and I just know you're going to do something amazing, because you always do. I love watching how you do amazing things and the things you talk about. The disciples inevitably had way more than this little boy, but they believed it wasn't enough. And even though this little boy had fewer resources, his faith allowed him to see that it was more than enough to shine Jesus' light and help other people out. And when it comes to helping others in need, are we more like the disciples and their inaction? Or are we learning that God can use what little we have and he will multiply it immeasurably more than we can ever imagine for amazing purposes, just like this little boy that chose to help and impact thousands and thousands and thousands of people. You know, this boy's faith makes me think of you kids. Also, the rest of you as well, church, and I'm very proud of you. I love you very, very much. I love saying that. And I'm excited to see this church in our continual growth as we reach out to a hurting people, that tomorrow, that next month, we will say, Lord, I want to be better at this. Jesus, I'm stepping out in faith, and I don't really know what I'm doing. This is out of my comfort zone, but I'm going to help, and I want people to see your light shine. This little light of mine, let it, let it, let it, Well, shalom has been restored in each one of us. And we have a beautiful calling to help restore shalom in others. Let me pray. Dear Lord, I love you very, very much. And these little kids up here are the ones that got me thinking about how I can do my life better, more obedient to the things you're asking me to do. And one super practical way is to help those that need help. And in that, they will see you as their heavenly Father. They will rejoice in the love, the hope, the healing you bring alongside of them. And so for each one of us here, church is never just about for the olders, the middles, or the kids. It's for all of us, interdependently living and loving as your body. And so God, I love you very, very much. I'm thankful that we got to have wild and zany day today and that we get to close off in some pretty exciting ways. God, you are good and we love you. Praise for your glory and our joy. Amen.